Yeah, I appreciate Daryl leading our singing and our time of worship, and especially those last few songs that he led. I especially appreciate those as they connect so well with what we'll be talking about today. So the psalm that we are going to be talking about is one that you possibly even memorized as a young child, maybe at a graveside service. You heard this psalm read, or maybe, I have this in my notes, maybe it's a song that, or a psalm that you sung in a time of worship at some point. Of course, I'm talking about Psalm 23. Maybe you sung it tonight, or a version of it, I should say. Psalm 23, 6 verses long. I'm going to go ahead and read it now, and then we'll talk about this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, you may have memorized this in the King James Version, or more familiar with it in the King James Version or New American Standard, but I'm reading from the NIV 2011, so there's a little bit of variation in the words that are used here in this psalm. One of the questions that I reflected on as I was preparing this lesson for this evening was simply this: why is this psalm so meaningful to us? Why is this one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture? Why is this one the passage that we choose to read at that funeral service, or even at a wedding? Or why is it the one that our Bible school teachers always encourage us to memorize? And so I reflected on that a little bit, and hopefully as we work through this passage tonight, as we talk about it verse by verse, maybe that'll help us to understand a little bit more about why this passage is so important, why it's so meaningful to us. So back at verse 1, it starts this way: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, or as the version I'm reading out of says, I lack nothing. So the psalmist starts by describing God as a shepherd. We know that this was a psalm of David, a shepherd himself. And so as he reflected on his life's work, he saw that God himself was like a shepherd as well. There were connections between the work of a shepherd that David was so familiar with and how God related to his people. The shepherd was present with the sheep. I think that's one of the themes that we see through this passage, is that the shepherd was continually there with his sheep, providing for the sheep, protecting the sheep. David knew this well. In fact, David's going to say at other points in Scripture that he actually fought against the beast of the land. David knew what it was to protect his sheep, and he says God, in the same way, protects his sheep, protects his people. God also provides for his sheep. David was continually searching out the best place for his sheep, the place with the best pasture, the place with the best grass, if you will. And God, in the same way, is a God who desires to provide for his people, just like a shepherd provides for his sheep. So God is referred to as a shepherd. And this idea of shepherd is so very important in Scripture. We know in John chapter 10 and verse 11 that Jesus is going to refer to himself as a shepherd. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, Peter is going to urge elders to be shepherds of God's flock. And so this idea of shepherding, of caring, providing, protecting is an important thing we see in Scripture. It reflects who God is. It's who Jesus is. And then the leaders within the church are supposed to be shepherds as well. A side note, and something that I think each shepherd, each elder should reflect on, is especially thinking that God himself is a shepherd. A question, if you're a shepherd, I think you should ask yourself, does my heart reflect God's heart? If God's a shepherd, am I shepherding in the way of God, in the word of God, in the care that God provides? And then secondly, am I helping people to come to know the good shepherd? So first of all, am I leading in the way of God's shepherding pattern, so to speak? And then secondly, and they're connected, am I helping people to come to know the good shepherd? God is referred to in verse 1 as a shepherd. Verses 2 and then the first part of verse 3, he says, the psalmist says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." So now he goes on to describe the shepherd, what the shepherd does. He says that he makes him, David speaking, makes me lie down in green pastures. Again, this idea of the shepherd providing for the sheep, taking the sheep to a place that would be good for food, a good, comfortable kind of place. Not only good for food, but a place of just of rest, of relaxing, we might say. Now, this is interesting. We live in a really busy world, right? We're always going from one point to another, taking care of this, taking care of that. As the psalmist reflects on God as the good shepherd, he says that the shepherd makes him lie down. In all of our chaos and busyness, are we resting? Are we taking that time to lie down? We think about the relationship that we have with the good shepherd, and the psalmist David says that the shepherd makes the sheep lie down. The shepherd understands that sitting there, that laying there is important for the well-being of the sheep. He also says he leads me beside quiet waters. And so you have this idea, again, of peace and comfort. For the sheep, they're going to need water, right? They need to drink. And the shepherd doesn't take, in this case, the shepherd doesn't take the sheep to a place of just a rushing river where it would be difficult to maybe get down there, navigate getting down to the water and then drinking it. But as the shepherd, or as this shepherd, David, reflects on God, the shepherd, he says that he leads him to leads him to these quiet waters. Again, this idea of just provision is so clearly there. It says that God refreshes the soul. God refreshes the soul. And we think about, again, the busyness in our lives and just how we're just all over the place and we have our calendars on our phone. And the to-do list is continually full, or the honey-do list, whatever the case may be, is continually full. But as the psalmist reflects on the good shepherd, he says that the shepherd refreshes his soul, this idea of being renewed, reinvigorated, we might say. That's what the psalmist believes about God. Then he says, the second part of verse 3, he says, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Some versions say guides in the paths of righteousness. So this shepherd leads the sheep in the right direction, doing the right things, living a way that's going to honor God. David, at this point, may be considering the law. The law will lead people in the right direction. And David believes that God leads people in the right direction. So abiding by the law that God had provided for the people, they will be on the right path. They will be living the God-honoring life that God has called all people to live. He says, for his name's sake. And that's interesting in itself, because you would think that we think about living the right kind of life. A lot of times we get caught up in thinking this is about us, and so we can have, you know, the attention on us and things. But the psalmist, when reflecting on God, says that it's about God's name. And you think about that, we have the responsibility of carrying out the reputation of God. And that's a big calling there. And so, but the psalmist says it's God that's going to lead in the right way so that God's reputation can be upheld, which which brings us a lot of peace, knowing that it's God that's going to be leaving us. In some ways, this means that we have to let go of our lives, let go of control, and allow God to lead us. And who knows what direction he's going to lead us, but we know that it's going to be the right direction. It's going to be the right way. Continuing on now, verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There are going to be difficulties in life. We all know about struggles and pain. Even right now, within this church family, there are people that are hurting. There are families that are in the hospital. They have families that have multiple people in the hospital at one time. There are struggles. This congregation knows struggle and hurt. As the psalmist reflects on these dark valleys, this darkness that happens in life, these valley moments, the one thing that he recalls about this shepherd is that through it all, the shepherd is with him. We're not alone in this journey. The sheep are not called to fend for themselves, but they have a shepherd that provides, that protects, that leads in the right direction. This idea of God being with his people is so very important in Scripture. We think about Isaac. All of these are instances where God says that he's going to be with someone. So you have Isaac in Genesis 26 and 24. You have Joseph in Genesis 39 and verse 2. You have Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. You have Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:6. You have Paul in Acts chapter 18, 9 and 10. We know about the disciples in Matthew 28 and verse 20. And so in all of these places, God says that he is going to be with his people. And that brings us great peace and comfort, even in the midst of an evil world. To know that God is with us should give us a great deal of confidence, knowing that we can overcome whatever's in our way. The psalmist recognizes that there is evil in the world, and I think that's important in itself. We're not to just bury our heads in the sand or just completely turn off the TV or just, wouldn't it be nice? We could live really holy lives if we just locked ourselves up in our house and never interacted with anyone anymore, stop going to work, stop going to the grocery store, just say, I'm done with all the brokenness in the world. I'm just going to lock myself in a closet. But I don't believe that's the God-honoring way to live life. Instead, in life, we recognize there is evil, but we also recognize there is a good God who is at work in his people, even in the midst of evil. He is with the people, confidently allowing us to walk in his way. The path of righteousness. He says, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Of course, the shepherds would have both a rod and a staff. What I've heard from scholars is that the rod was typically something that was shorter, almost like a club, and it could be used to defend against beasts, wolves and lions or whatever the case may be. And then a staff was much longer. A lot of times it would have a hook on the end, and it could be used to pull a sheep out of trouble. And so the psalmist says that the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Again, this idea of protection. Thinking about God being with his people, knowing that this was a psalm of David, I'd like for us to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 for just a moment. So we're going to go from one very well-known passage to another very well-known passage. This is the story of David and Goliath. Perhaps when David was singing this psalm to God, Psalm 23, or reciting it to God, perhaps he even had in mind this situation with the conflict with the Palestinians. So, 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to begin reading in verse 34. I'm going to read about 10 verses. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. See, that's a place where it's different in this version. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So in this story that we know so well, it wasn't David's power that allowed him to conquer the Philistine. It wasn't just 5 perfect smooth stones or a really sharp sword or anything like that. But David proclaims in that moment that it is because of God being with him that he's able to do what he had just accomplished. It's God doing those things. And so now in Psalm 23, he's reflecting on God. And he says, even in the darkest moments, even in those valleys, the shepherd is with me, providing for me, protecting me. Back to Psalm 23. He goes on and he kind of... Things change a little bit here. The tone changes a little bit. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now it goes from God being a shepherd to God being just this really generous host. He says, "You prepare a table before me." So God sets this before the psalmist and says, "Okay, here you go. Come, be with me, enjoy what I'm about to give you." He says it's in the presence of my enemies. So again, just like he recognized that there is evil in the world, he recognizes that in fact there are enemies. But even though there are enemies in the world, David says, it's okay because I'm with God. In the presence of my enemies, even though they hate me, even though they would like to kill me, I'm with God, dining with him. Everything's going to be okay. He says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." You anoint my head with oil. This idea of affection, this idea of love. God anointing David. Putting that on him. This idea of camaraderie, we might say. He says, "My cup overflows." We use this kind of language often, right? Our cup overflowing. God just doesn't fill it just to the top or fill it almost to the top. When God gives these blessings to David as he reflects on this good shepherd, the cup is overflowing. Just this goodness and generosity and grace comes to David. And we know David wasn't always stellar in the way that he lived his life. David made mistakes. We know about his sin. We can read about Psalms that talk about the sin that David committed. However, in this moment, as he reflects on the Good Shepherd, He's reminded that the cup just overflows. God's goodness just continues to come to him. And he says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Talking about the presence of God, he finishes it by saying that he is going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't think that means that he is going to always sit in the temple. I mean, maybe he had that in mind. But perhaps what he meant when he was saying that he is going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever is, again, this idea of presence, that his life is going to be lived in worshipful praise to God. No matter where he goes, he will be in the presence of God continually worshiping this one who provides for him, protects him, and leads him in the paths of righteousness. That is a God that we would want to live in the presence of. Thinking about living in the presence of God, like I said, I think that's a theme that emerges in this. And I think that's one of the reasons that this psalm is so meaningful to us. Because this idea of having an intimate relationship with God means a lot to us. We think about that song, "My God and I." You know, we can walk and talk like good friends shouldn't do. That brings us a lot of peace, doesn't it? It brings us a lot of joy to know the Creator God is one that wants to live in relationship with us, wants to be close to us, wants to know us, all that kind of stuff. Even in the brokenness, even in the sinfulness, God still reaches out to us, desiring a relationship with us. And so I think it brings us so much peace to know that we can live in the presence of God forever. How does that all work out? I don't know. I don't know how God is present with us continually. However, I think we could talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we see that in Scripture. God is present with us in the Holy Spirit. Paul, reflecting on the Holy Spirit, says, "Do you not know that you all are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So we have God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. We think about the church coming together. I believe as we gather together, God is present with us. He's there with us. Jesus says as much when he says, "When two or three gathered in my name, there I am with you. There I'm with you." This idea of God being with us again. I believe as we pray, we have the opportunity in a unique way to be in the presence of God as we call on him, as we communicate to him. Again, God is so big, so powerful, yet as we pray to him, he hears us. He listens to us. He's acting on our behalf. The Creator of the world is doing that for us. So this psalmist, David reflects on this good shepherd who is with his people, and it brings him joy. And at the end, he says, "I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's available to all of us. Well, that concludes our lesson on Psalm 23. Daryl's going to lead a song for us. And if there's anybody here that needs the prayers of the church family, we'd be so glad to pray with you. Again, as we say, just on a regular basis, we desire to be a people that just bear each other's burdens. That's what God calls us to do as a community of faith, a family of faith. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and sing this song.